Well, when you come to this passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 6, you realize that there is a hellish type of person that tries to creep into a society, whether it be the world of business, the arena of politics, or the pews of a church. It's the person who will do whatever it takes to make sure he gets his own way. There is a fiendish type of individual who will use any method and even destroy others as long as he thinks it's going to help him get to the top. He doesn't care what he says about other people. He doesn't care what he does about people as long as he wins. These kinds of people are masters of deceit, and frankly, God hates them. Now, Solomon knew all about this type of person because of his own half-brother, Absalom. Absalom had schemed and lied his way to the top, even over his own father, David, but he didn't last long. There's no doubt when you track people who get on the type of description God's going to give us in Proverbs that God ultimately considers this kind of person to be one of the most worthless people around, and then quickly and swiftly he brings that person down. Now, I don't know whether Solomon's son had started to manifest these characteristics. More than likely his son was the recipient of some form of attack. But Solomon did not want his son to ever become like the kind of person he describes in these verses. So what he says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19 is this: God considers a person who uses deceitful tactics to dominate others to be worthless, and someday he will crush such a person. That is really the emphasis of the instruction. In other words, God is keeping record of everything that people do and everything people say, and if a person decides he's going to make his way to the top by stepping all over other people and playing some type of political game, if he's going to get to the top by verbally or physically attacking someone, he will discover that when he gets there, God will be waiting for him or her and eventually will tear that person to pieces. Now, in the first part of verse 12, Solomon gives the classification for this kind of person. Notice what verse 12 says: a worthless person, a wicked man, is one who. Notice how God classifies the person that he's going to describe: worthless and wicked. The word worthless is a Hebrew word that would refer to one who, from God's perspective, is useless without any benefit whatsoever. In other words, from the perspective of God, a person who walks all over others has absolutely no benefit for existence from God's classification. Now, the word wicked that's used there refers to somebody who is empty or nothing in the sight of God. Now, you combine these two words and it doesn't paint a pretty picture of how God views this kind of person. God is stressing that this push and shove person is nothing in his sight. He may be somebody in his own little mind or world, but he's nothing in the sight of God. God hates those who use deceitful tactics and walk all over people, and they use manipulative ways to get their own way. God does not want that in any of our lives. It is not the mark of wisdom. It's the mark of a fool. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there are three main points that Solomon wants to communicate to his son. Number one, why God considers a person to be worthless. This kind of person. Notice verse 12 down to verse 14. A worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually, who spreads strife. Now, basically, we could say this person who wants to dominate others is useless because he will stop at nothing to reach his objective. A person who is out for power, a person who's out to dominate, is one who will use deception, and it doesn't matter what he has to say or do as long as he gets his end result. God absolutely detests it. Now, you'll notice that the word false that shows up there in the verse, a false mouth, is a word which means one who's twisted. So the first tactic that this person uses is he is deceptive with his speech. He twists his speech. In other words, he uses fraudulent speech as a means of trying to control other people. When the text says he uses this kind of speech, or he walks with this kind of speech, it's kind of interesting that indicates this is the lifestyle of one who is continually on a path that God views as worthless and wicked. They are liars. They cannot tell the truth. They are people who continually use their lips to form lies. They're not straight shooters. They don't tell the truth. They're not straightforward. In fact, you notice that this kind of person lives his life telling lies. He is one who has a false mouth. If you've ever known this kind of person, they talk in circles. I like people to tell the truth. I like people to look you in the eyes and tell you what they think and the way they are. That, to me, is a wonderful quality for an individual to have. Even if I don't necessarily agree with a person, at least you know where they're at and where they're coming from because they're a straight-shooting type of person. Wise people are truthful people. Wise people do not try to twist truth. Rather, they state truth. A wise person is very aware of the fact that by twisting truth, they may succeed for a moment, but the end will be they will pay. And this happens all the time. We get into election years. You have politicians who twist things to get elected. That's all their goal is. They'll say one thing, do another. I mean, this is their habit. That's not the mark of one who's wise in the sight of God. A person with twisted speech is worthless in the sight of God. That's what Solomon taught his own son. He says, son, you use false speech, and the way God will view you is worthless and wicked. Now, the second tactic this person uses, he deceives with his eyes. Verse 13, he winks with his eyes. Now, the idea of winking with eyes is the idea of giving some type of deceitful signal. I mean, it's the idea of not being real, looking one way, but really not meaning it. The person would apparently be a person who would have a look to his eyes that he's on your side. He would have a look to his eyes that he's really behind you, really with you, but in all reality, his heart is not in it. He would be a Judas type. Judas could go around with Jesus and the other disciples, and he could look like them, and he could listen to the things there, and he could look at the other guys and give the appearance that he was really with them, but he was a traitor. Solomon wanted his own son to know that this description, that this destruction of this kind of individual who winks with his eyes is one who ultimately would come swiftly. His eyes may momentarily be on your side, but he will come out against you. He's not really your friend. He's not a truth setter. The third tactic is he deceives with his feet. That's what verse 13 says. He signals with his feet. John Kittle reveals that there was an entire system of artificial signals which could be made without ever saying a word that was based on movements of the feet. He says that in the Oriental world, they would sit on the ground and they would bring their feet into full view, and without ever interchanging a word, they actually had a system whereby they could signal instructions simply by moving the location of the feet. But a point of a worthless person is they pretend that they're walking in a right direction. They pretend they're walking in a godly direction, but they're deceptive. They're pretending to be walking your way, but they aren't walking your way. They're walking in a worthless way. And God says, I'll eventually bring that person down. The fourth tactic is he deceives with his fingers. And again, Kitto is very helpful here. He says there were those in the ancient world who used hand signals. Little movements of signals. They could pretend to be your friend, but really be your enemy. They could actually communicate with their hands a moment of attack, and they could demonstrate finger movement, and the finger movement could actually indicate that it was time to attack someone. There have been, even in our day, card sharks that can do that. I mean, you'll get these guys and you'll hear about them or read about them. They get in a game and they move their hands, or they have ways of signaling to one another. You get a team in a card game and they know how to signal back and forth. The type of person here is just not honest. I mean, they're trying to take advantage of someone else very deceptively. They're not for real. They're not telling the truth. They're not a truth setter. And that's exactly what Solomon says. He says to his son, this kind of person is worthless and wicked. The fifth tactic is he's a fraud. Verse 14, who with perversity in his heart devises evil. That word perversity is the Hebrew word which means this person is a fraud. He is a fraud. In other words, this person has learned how to look and speak like the real deal. This person has learned to speak and act like a caring person, but deep inside, this person is a fraud. In the mind of God, a person who is a phony, a person who is not for real in his or her relationship with the Lord, who's just playing some type of game that other people see, is a fraud, and that person is worthless and wicked in the sight of God. The sixth tactic is he continually is the source of evil. Verse 14, his heart devises evil continually. That That word devise evil is talking about a person who in their heart they're plotting, they're planning. I mean, they're not planning what God would have them do. They're not interested in what the will of God is. They're interested in accomplishing their own agenda. So he maps out his own evil means of accomplishing his objectives, and he thinks that he's getting away with it. Well, he's not getting away with it. Because Solomon's making this clear to his son, God knows it. God sees it. God is recording it, and God will punish him. The seventh tactic is he wrecks harmony. At the end of verse 14, who spreads strife. Now, a worthless, useless person sends discord among the brethren. That word spread is a word that means he sends out strife. In other words, this person is one who is always causing problems with people. Never can get along. This is the kind of person who's very deceitful, very crafty, gets into different situations, decides to become some type of judicial wrecking crew in people's lives, and that's exactly what this kind of person does. He starts wrecking the harmony of people. The person is totally deceptive. He wants power. He wants authority. He's using verbal things, and he's using deceit to try to get that power and authority. And frankly, he wants to be a leader, and he wants to be a dictator, and he wants to promote self, and God considers that kind of person absolutely worthless. So Solomon says to his son, that's not the wise way to live life. These are not the qualities you want to plug into your personality. The second point is what God intends to do to such a person. Verse 15, therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken, and there will be no healing. Any person who is developing a personality like Solomon just described in those preceding verses had better read the rest of the story. A person who's deceptive and who's manipulative and who lies and who cheats and who's trying to con his or her way into some dominating position and will step all over people to get that position, they better read the rest of this story, because here it is stated in very clear, intimidating, and I might say even fearful language, precisely what God intends to do to such a person. He intends to suddenly crush and tear to pieces this kind of person. And when the text says, therefore his calamity will come suddenly, That word suddenly, which appears twice in this verse, instantly it's translated, it's the same word suddenly. It's a word which emphasizes speed, a brief moment of time. It was a moment so fast that it could be compared to the length of time it would take to open your eyes. And that word calamity, your calamity will come suddenly, is a word which means heavy, destructive crushing. Now what Solomon's saying is the person who uses manipulative tactics and tramples all over people and hurts other people, and one who for self-gain is trying to use all these manipulative tactics to dominate people, will find that God will suddenly rip that person to shreds. He will cause that person to be crushed in a moment. See, God is looking for honesty. He's looking for humility. He's looking for harmony. And any person who's acting deceitfully in some other capacity is setting the stage for very, very severe consequences. Which brings us to Solomon's third point, what God thinks of deceitful people. Now, here are some very famous verses. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Those words of verse 16 are sober words. The person who uses deceit to conquer others is viewed by God as being hated and viewed by God as being an abomination. Now, that's pretty strong language. That noun, hate, is a noun that means to hate in the sense of looking at someone as an enemy, and as an enemy. And the word abomination is the word that means you look at something and it's totally detestable to God, something that God would consider to be impure, That particular word is used over 20 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, when the numbers are given, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to Him, it is not given because the writer forgot the list. I mean, Solomon was not recording things and he goes, okay, there are six things the Lord hates. Oh, I forgot one. Let me add one more. There's seven things the Lord hates. That's not how this works. This was a device of Hebrew poetry that was a device that was building and emphasizing the last thing on the list. It was a way the writer of Hebrew would actually kind of build in crescendo, but he really wants to pinpoint then the last thing, the last item on the list. In other words, it was the writer's intent to list seven things which are totally detestable to God, and although these are not the only things which are detestable to God, this is what is being stressed here. This is not a complete list of everything God hates, but it concludes with the number seven, which will be a climactic ending, and it certainly will give insight as to what he's talking about. Now, there are seven things he specifically hates which are named here. Number one, he hates a proud look. Haughty eyes are detestable to God. Haughty eyes. That word haughty is one that speaks of a high look. I mean, we're talking about here someone who walks around proud, high, exalted. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to have authority over me. I'm not going to submit myself to anyone. I mean, this is that high, proud look. And it was kind of a look that at times was seen in enemies of the nation Israel. These nations would come in, they'd dominate Israel, then they'd get real proud and they'd have an arrogant look about them that here we are, we're dominating you, you're saying you're right with God. That's the kind of atmosphere that we're talking about here. A number of years ago, I was asked to go to a birthday party and we were asked to, it was a surprise birthday party, so we were all told to park behind this barn and that was the neighbor's barn, and we were like to hide our vehicles there and then walk across the field so we could surprise the birthday person. But the problem is the wife who was putting on the surprise party forgot to tell the neighbors that we were going to park behind their barn. So I was one of the first to arrive, and we were walking across the field to where we were supposed to go, and I hear, "Sick 'em." And I turn to look at a dog who's running full speed straight at us, about ready to attack us. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. The thing that was very troubling, not only the dog threat, which was certainly troubling, But was the woman who's there with some proud smirk on her face. I don't like to just smack that right off her face, to be honest with you. And she's with a smirk, and so ultimately we got this all hashed out, and she said, well, they should have told me you were having this. I said, well, don't you think maybe you should ask before you just sick your dog on someone? You should ask what's going on here. But there was a high, proud, arrogant look with a smirk on this face on this woman that basically was nothing but what is described right here. It was very haughty. Now, Solomon's saying, God hates those that walk around and they're proud and arrogant. And he basically saying, they may look it for a moment, but that look won't last long. Which brings us to the second object. God hates a lying tongue. I'll tell you, this is something that is so critical to the believer. Be a truth setter. We want to be fact-oriented. You do not want to take gossip and run with it. You want to search out truth. You want to get at fact. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who will lie, and they will look you in the face, and they will lie. And that's why Proverbs says, you do not make a judgment until you hear the whole sum of the matter. You get all of the facts first before you make any type of judgment call, because there are people who are very manipulative and they lie. The root word from which lying comes from is a Hebrew word which means coloring, by the way. So the idea here is that a person who God hates is good at coloring truth, good at just shading things, not really setting forth what's true and what's accurate, what's factual. Listen, God wants straight shooters. And he does not want people that are bending things and talking about things that aren't true. He wants truth centers. That's very important. Thirdly, God hates undeserved murder. Verse 17 says that. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. It's a shame that all the proponents of abortion, they should have to read this verse. God hates hands. He hates those that shed innocent blood. That's pretty sober to think about that. But there's more than one way of killing a person. I mean, James makes it clear that a person can be killed verbally. A murder can be committed verbally. God hates it. When somebody's innocent and they haven't done anything to deserve the attack, and all of a sudden somebody goes on an attack to murder somebody that's innocent, whether it be physically or verbally, that is something that God absolutely detests. Fourthly, he hates the heart of wicked schemes. Notice what he says in verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Now this is an important theological bit of information, which gives us a great insight as to the wonderful knowledge God had. God not only sees the plan, he sees the heart. That verse makes that very clear. So nobody's fooling God. I mean, nobody is walking around deceitful and lying and twisting speech and winking with eyes and coloring truth and getting away with it, because God's looking straight into the heart of this. And he sees actually what's going on the inside. And this kind of person is the one who will give any wicked scheme, any wicked plan to dominate someone, and that is an abomination to God. Fifthly, God hates those eager to involve themselves in evil. Verse 18, feet that run rapidly to evil. You know, there are people that are quick to run to evil. Doesn't matter what it is, they'll run to it. Whether it be something that's sinful, such as an activity, or whether it be anything, such as gossip, they'll run to that. It's just quick to it. God hates that. He doesn't want people running to this kind of thing. He wants people of integrity. He wants people that are honest, people that are humble, people that are straight shooting type of people. Then sixthly, he hates perjury. Verse 19, a false witness who utters lies. I read not long ago of a woman who testified in court that she saw a man committed a crime and he was sentenced. And he went and he served time in prison, and several years later she said that she really didn't see him do it, but she didn't like the guy, and so she said it in court just because she was mad at the guy. Well, they let him, finally they went back and checked the DNA stuff, and he wasn't the guy who had done the wrong, so they let him out of prison. Now just think about that. This woman had perjured herself against an individual, and he spent time in prison because of her lies. Kind of like Potiphar's wife. Who did that for Joseph, just made up lies that weren't true to try to ruin him. God hates somebody that does that. He hates liars. He does not like those that make up false things against somebody else. And by the way, this is a legal language, a false witness who utters lies. That's legal language, like a legal testimony. Somebody who says, well, I'm going to tell the truth, and then they go into a court of law and they lie. All conversation, and this is what is so interesting to me, when I read this passage of Scripture, it seems that all conversation is legally weighed by God. And God detests someone who is a liar. Even though this person may appear to get a hearing, even though this person may appear to be liked because of what they're saying, even though this person may appear to get away with it, God hates it. And he makes a promise, I'll right the wrong. Which brings us to the final object. God hates a destroyer of harmony. Verse 19, and one who spreads strife among brethren. Now, this kind of person he's just described, he'll use verbal testimony, he'll use wicked schemes, lying tongues, he'll use pride to try to divide the brethren. God absolutely hates it. God detests someone who's always causing schisms in the family of God. God desires unity. Everything that I see in the Scriptures in the family of God tries to promote unity. And those that are those types of people that want to destroy unity and harmony are going to discover there will come a day when they will be crushed. You know, it's interesting that people are quick to say, oh, God hates murder, God hates adultery, God hates homosexuality. But what about the one who spreads strife among brothers? God hates that too. And Solomon never wanted his son to become like that. So what he says, son, these are the kinds of thing that God hates. He's basically saying to his son, he wants you to be a truthful person, a righteous person, a humble person. He wants you to be one who strives for harmony. You be that kind of person because that's the path of wisdom. Those that get themselves on the other path are heading towards some serious consequences, the destruction of God. That's what Solomon taught his own son in this passage of Scripture. Any questions or comments tonight?